welcome to the Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. In our inaugural podcast with Ashwin Yardi, CEO India, Capgemini, we spoke of how digital transformation will pave the way for businesses in the near future. But it needs to be coupled with cost-effective infrastructure solutions. On the forefront over the years has been cloud, which allows customers to pay as they go instead of staying invested in one's own servers on their own premises. Add to this, we have a concept, a newish one called hybrid cloud, a cloud of clouds, so to speak, which combines a customer's own computers with the ones operated by, say, Amazon Web Services. Indeed, it's a lot more complicated than that, and it needs some explaining. Joining me on the call to do just that is Radhika Ramesh, Executive Vice President, Global Delivery Center Head, CIS India, Capgemini. Hi, Radhika. Thanks for joining in.
Hi, Abhishek.
In this world of IT geology, did I get that definition of cloud computing right? Forgive me, I'm a layman at this. What is cloud computing in brief, Radhika?
Cloud computing is nothing but an on-demand availability, as you rightly said, of computer system resources, especially data storage, computing power, without the direct active management by the user. So this term is generally used to describe data centers available to many users over the internet. So that's as simple as I can get.
Right. So in other words, you know, businesses can outsource their web hosting or data centers or their core computer systems and various applications to an external service provider. It could be an AWS. It could even be, let's say, instead of having a CRM system sitting on your server, you could subscribe to, let's say, Zoho, which is the online application which is hosted on their servers. Would that be right in terms of cloud?
Absolutely. I think you got it bang on, Abhishek.
And what is hybrid cloud in that sense of the word?
Basically, you have three broad categories in cloud solutions. The first one is public cloud, where the resources are made available over the public internet, as I mentioned. This is the most common form of cloud deployment. This model offers a high degree of scalability and flexibility. This type of service is offered by third-party providers like, as you said, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and the works. The second one is private cloud, where the resources are made available to select users, usually over a private network. This allows you to adhere to any country or enterprise-specific regulatories, data privacies, legal or any security compliance requirements. Now, hybrid cloud is a combination of public and private cloud. It leverages the benefit of both. Enterprises may have already invested in their own data centers or private clouds with certain amount of lock-ins due to CapEx or license or some contractual requirements. And for that matter, there may be some legacy applications and hardware that cannot be migrated to public cloud. Not all enterprise systems are cloud ready, and hence there is a need to strike the right balance. When we talk about hybrid cloud, one can deploy a website on a public cloud to leverage on the scalability and could deploy the database in a private cloud to secure or comply with specific security or data privacy norms. Also, the new applications and workloads can be designed leveraging cloud infra as a service. You would have heard about platform as a service, you know, it's called PaaS, for quicker go-to-market and thereby effectively balancing between both the public as well as the private cloud platform. So basically, hybrid cloud architecture is becoming the norm. And as a market acknowledgement, all the hyperscalers have developed their own hybrid cloud offerings. Amazon has come out with AWS Outpost, Anthos by Google, Microsoft has come out with Azure Arc.
Not too long ago, on October 8th, IBM, it claimed that it will spin off a part of its service business and focus entirely on hybrid cloud. So in other words, there is a big demand for it. Has this been around for a while? Because it would seem a very plausible solution to be that bridge between public and private cloud, because as you just mentioned, not all services can be cut-pasted onto the main cloud. And is the uptake more recent, or has it been around for a while? Why is this demand increasing now as compared to before?
In the recent past, first, if you look at cloud computing itself, right, has rapidly developed over the years and has started gaining momentum, I would say, a decade back. Today, enterprises are shying away from high-cost purchases, be it hardware, software, or setting up on-prem data centers. With the marketplace getting digital, your hyper-personalization of services, the need for analyzing huge amount of data to understand user behaviors, purchasing patterns, etc., has become very critical, thereby increasing the need for infrastructure resources exponentially. Almost all businesses now focus on cost-efficient operations. Just-in-time resource management is no longer a word, I would say, associated to manufacturing units, but has become the need of the hour everywhere. This demands the need for IT resources like storage, compute, bandwidth, etc., to be increased or decreased in line with the business requirement, and that too in a jiffy.
Right. Here, what you mean is, for instance, if there is a cricket match going on today, and let's say Virat Kohli is on fire and it's going down to the wire, you have that many more people logging on to Crickinfo, and it needs to have its resources beefed up to make sure it can take that load. Or on a big billion sale on, let's say, Amazon or Flipkart, where instead of they wanting to invest all their money in beefing up from their own side, they will just buy more. It's like paying your electricity bill, where you pay as you go, and not, you know, just buy electricity for the whole year and then do a prepaid model. So that's cloud. In that sense, how does hybrid cloud tie into that?
So if you look at hybrid cloud, for example, you know, you have clients or enterprises who would have their legacy systems with them. It is not possible for them to actually totally do away with the legacy applications or hardware which they have with them. The first step one would take is to quickly move on and adopt anything which is on the cloud, like all your software as a service. You know, so you have application, you have ServiceNow, you have SAP, then you have Teams. All these are already on the cloud. So that's easy. So, you know, you move, let's take from a Skype to a Teams, and then you're already on cloud. Then the next part of it basically comes on to all your native digital applications, which are cloud native. What we say is, you know, it's basically these are applications which are adaptable to cloud. So those kind of applications are something then which you can move. And the last is this part, which are legacy applications, which are very, very specific. And these cannot be, you know, directly moved into cloud. And so that is where the concept of containerization comes in, where, you know, you can actually get this legacy system moved as well. So now you don't have option to say X cannot be moved or Y cannot be moved. You can do all this, but you need to do a combination of a public or a private cloud, and hence the question of hybrid comes in.
Did you see companies scrambling towards this solution after the lockdown, whether in India or across the world, because we are in a once in a century kind of a global event where almost all of us are interconnected on the web, and now almost everyone and their brothers are working from home. So how did that tie into the demand, or did you see that more now than before?
Absolutely. I think one of the things I would say the pandemic, when you look at, has actually played a positive role is in this case. Collaboration has become a very critical focus area if you look at, and enterprises have been forced to get on the rapid deployment of tools like Teams. What normally takes 4 to 6 months to, you know, execute, we have done it for clients in just a few weeks, all because of the solutions are all cloud-based. Organizations which have migrated to the cloud are able to benefit from its elasticity, which enables them to scale to use only those resources they need to now and scale up later. As you rightly said, when the economy ramps up, even during this pandemic times, they have been able to quickly scale down and then are ready to ramp up when it's required. This is now becoming a strong business case for CXOs to accelerate their cloud agenda, Abhishek.
And the key here, I think you've used, is time, quickly, just in time. These are some of the keywords in this last 5 minute conversation. How easy is it to deploy these solutions, given that legacy systems can be notorious for their past or entrenched in their own histories, which make it that much more difficult to have them plug and play and get started? It's not like a switch that goes on, right?
Yeah, that's correct. this requires very conscious planning. The first thing is to get out of heavy investment and on the premises data center contracts shackles. And that's the first thing. The clients are addressing their technical debt through hybrid cloud adoption to clean their balance sheet basically and move to an OPEX model. The growing pandemic has been graphically illustrating the strength of cloud computing as more and more companies are continuing to move their employees to cloud-based application and enabling to work from home.
And some examples, Radhika, if you could think of applications of a cloud computing where it is a no-brainer to move in that direction as compared to having an on-prem or on-premises model.
Yeah, let me start with now the world's largest HANA landscape in Azure Cloud. Microsoft, Capgemini, and Kona Services. This is the shared services IT arm of US bottlers. Designed and migrated what is now the world's largest HANA landscape in the Azure Cloud. Basically, every day the world consumes almost 2 billion beverages produced by Coca-Cola company. The company's global network of bottling partners, they play a very huge role in making this happen. Kona Services manages the solution specifically to support the bottlers in North America. And they set out to find an ideal cloud foundation for its existing SAP HANA-based IT platform. So they adopted to migrate their existing applications to Microsoft Azure. And of course, we, along with SAP and Microsoft, got this implemented. They had three main reasons, Abhishek, to migrate to cloud. And that was, as you mentioned earlier, cost, and of course, the digital transformation strategy and speed. Kona Services lifted and shifted 9 landscapes, 5 of them physical to Azure. The project involved disaster recovery with multi-tier SAP HANA app system replication and production SAP business warehouse. All of this operated with a database size of more than 12 terabytes and 40 Azure virtual machines. Now, to tackle the project and help keep the platform downtime at the minimum for its bottlers, Kona Services actually worked very closely with all of us, and Capgemini planned and executed this complex migration. The new Kona Azure platform handles roughly 160,000 orders a day, which represents an annual $21 billion of net sale value. The company's bottlers use it to help them to improve operations, speak to the same technical language, and thrive in the digital age of bottling. Now, there's another organization I would like to talk about. This is Mossack. It's a Fortune 500 company based in Minnesota. They actually do mining of phosphate and potash. They are the largest US producer for potash and phosphate fertilizer. They had aging infrastructure. The client was struggling not only to manage the vast amount of data generated by their rapid growth, but they were also finding it difficult to meet the increasing demands of their customers for new services. So the client's existing business processes and models were preventing the company from taking advantage of cloud services. So they wanted to actually embark the digital transformation and get their organization into a lean model. So Mossack turned to Capgemini, and for Azure, we designed and implemented not only the entire cloud solution, but also we are operating and managing them. Azure migration program consisted of 2 parallel work streams, the SAP application migration and the line of business application migration. So migration of approximately around 400 applications to be a combination of managed infra as a service, platform as a service, self-managed infra as a service platform, including about 47 business critical production applications.
So right after you got, your team must have got its head around the magnitude of the problem. How long does it take to execute a project of that magnitude?
These projects anyway take between about 6 to 1 year.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot. As you say, the entire concept is on speed. So we just can't have projects which are going on for years. So if you see this particular company, you know, they reduce their IT infrastructure cost by nearly 25%. Then they have 99% of production availability. So, you know, the disaster recovery capabilities was enhanced. So these are all the things which go in. There's another case study. This is a home office, a ministerial department responsible for immigration security in UK. Here, the immigration technology, the Home Office team responsible for delivering the digital futures of immigration, they identified that its existing hosting platform lacked the scalability and stability necessary to support its transformation agenda. So Capgemini played a key role in Amazon Web Services cloud platform implementation, enabling quicker and efficient digital improvements for UK immigration services. So a client could bring down their build times from 2 days to just 1 hour. That is the impact. And even say 35% reduction in weekly incident volume, and their new development environment build could be done in less than 4 hours when previously it used to take about 2 weeks, not to forget the savings they could clock.
Right. Talking about savings, I think this is a question that you must be hammered on from all clients or even during interviews, is how long before a client can recover his or her investment? How long does it take for the ROI? Or is that the wrong question to ask? Or rather, even if it costs a little bit more, that is the future and hence embrace it. How does it work?
See, it depends actually on the complexity of the migration. Okay, so the data centers per se, Abhishek, is managing on-premises data center is a very, very expensive exercise. It is a no-brainer. So the moment you need to, you actually move your applications and infra, you shut down the infrastructure in the existing data center, or you move your applications from the existing on-premise data center to the cloud, then you just start reaping the benefits thereon. And I say, told you, all these migration programs are anywhere between 6 to 1 year kind of a period. It's only bound to the contract and to your release clauses for you to start reaping your benefits. So you should be able to clock in very quick benefits depending on which area you're actually, migrating to the cloud.
And last couple of questions, Radhika. One that stands out is about security, in that how secure or what are some of the checkboxes that one needs to tick before deciding that it's indeed safe, whether it's a bank or a school for that matter?
See, there is no cloud transformation program without addressing the security aspect, Abhishek. This covers infrastructure, network, applications, and data security. So service providers like Capgemini offer integrated solutions that you can seamlessly manage either in a multi-cloud or a hybrid cloud environment. And now most of the cloud providers also have good native security tooling on cloud and also give the option to add on security features. So it's like a building block. For example, a cloud provider would provide basic perimeter security controls like a firewall. And then the client may have some very specific requirements. And so they can actually go down and choose a firewall of their choice from a list of cloud firewall providers that would suit their business needs. The Capgemini cloud platform instance, for example, comes with vulnerability assessment, endpoint detection and response, and log monitoring in the basic security block. And then we work with the client and add on the various components of security based on the client's requirement or the business or regulatory obligations. Now, security is a key element, and it is not an afterthought when adopting cloud. Right. It has to be baked in at the design stage and reviewed as a service get added or enhanced. To be honest, public cloud environments are in many cases more safe than traditional on-prem. Hmm. Think of it this way. Huh? Is a safe in your house more secure than a safe in the bank? That's what I would say.
Right. And the final one is, where do you see future of cloud computing as such? It's a cliched question, but the segment has been galloping. According to one estimate in 2019, businesses spent nearly $230 billion globally on the cloud. This was according to Gartner. They could splurge as much as $355 billion by 2022. That's next year. This segment is growing by 20%, which means every 4.5 years, it's going to double. So where do you see that in Indian context and the Western world?
I see at least for the next 4 years, cloud is going to be on the top to be done list of all CXOs. If you look at, as you rightly pointed out, all the analysts are also pointing us towards that same direction. I see mass migrations on the plan of all the CXOs. This is going to be the main agenda for all enterprises immediately in the next 24 months and of course for years to come now.
On that optimistic note, Radhika, thank you very much for your time on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Abhishek. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. And all you listeners, you can tune into ForbesIndia.com and find us on iTunes or any one of your favorite podcast channels. This was Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini.